All right, if you've got your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Now, for those of us who are just getting started, okay, and that, I like it that you're starting. What you want to do is find the red letters. If you find the red letters, you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And if you don't have a Bible with red letters, oops. Find red letters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and then turn to the right, and that's Book of Acts, and then one more book. Ooh, I know where it is in your Bibles. I love it when somebody has the giant print, easy-to-read Bible like mine. If you've got a real good Bible, it's page 1741. And if we... Nope, it's wrong. You've got a bigger... Ooh, you got a bigger print than I do. Man, I love that. All right, so what we're going to do, for those of us, for those of you at the front, I'm just going to hold up my Bible for you to read it. And tell me your name again.
Donnie.
Donnie is going to hold his up for the rest of you, you know. Why don't you look at verse 28? Verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. Make sure everybody finds it. We're not in any hurry. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Underline it, circle it, mark it for a second, okay? We're introduced to the thought that God is working even now for us. All right? He's working for us, all things together for good to those or for those who love the Lord. Now stop a second. We've been introduced to Romans 8, 28 introduced us to the thought. But we already knew this. Those of us who grew up going to Bible class, those who grew up going to church, you heard these kind of stories when you were a kid. Name, in that first meeting group, they couldn't name any of these hardly. I mean, it is like terrible. That is pretty slow. Y'all are much brighter. Philip, and you don't say anything, all right? Since you were here both times. All right, tell me, give me three. Give me three examples of mighty, miraculous, awesome God things He did that you read about in the Bible. The parting of the Red Sea. The plagues. Give me one more. Passover, and it just keep saying, any question I ask, darling, you holler Passover. Yeah, that's right, Passover. The flood. Walking on the water. Stop the sun. Raising the dead. The resurrection. Made the blind man see. Storm. Fed the 5,000 with five biscuits, two fish. She cured the lady who had the issue of blood. She cured the blind, the lame, all of those kind of good stuff. That's, y'all name more than three. Y'all are much smarter than that first group, all right? Now what I want you to know, this one's going to be tougher. Because there are some mighty things God did that had nothing to do with miraculous stuff. Now, there are you know what I mean by the miraculous. It goes beyond nature. I mean, it's just things that no man could do. It had to be coming from God. To raise somebody from the dead, to cause a blind man to see, a deaf man to hear, lame man to walk. Those are mighty, miraculous things that God did. Name some mighty, wondrous things that God did that you wouldn't consider necessarily miracles. Tough. And I've had grandchildren all weekend, so I'm not going to be easy on you. Though I love having my grandchildren with me. Yes. Even when they come to church. Yes, I like it. I especially like it then. Joseph. Man, I love that story of Joseph. Joseph is the favored son. Gets sold into slavery by wicked brothers. in slavery, God raises him up to be honored by the captain of the guard. Then the captain of the guard's wife has him thrown in jail. And then God brings him out of jail and puts him at the right hand of Pharaoh. An incredible, amazing story that shows God's work, and it had nothing to do with miracles. All right, give me another one. Daniel. Just the things that Daniel did. For 10 days, Daniel said, I'm not going to eat that king food. I'm going to eat my stuff. I'm going to eat things that will honor God. And he was stronger and healthier than any of the others. Give me another one. That's right. And folks, it's one of the stories that we love around this place, because you got a house full. We have a house full of folks who've made that same kind of mistake. We walked away from God, spent years away from Him, living in a pig pen, finally came to our senses and came back toward God. And God, just like that old man father that Darla was talking about, ran to meet us. Welcomed us and made us, and he celebrated that we were home. All right? Give me one more. How about a great story of Ruth? And those of you who've read this, remember it. Those of you who haven't read it, it's one of those things you may want to read. Ruth loses her husband. Her heart's broken. She loses her father-in-law, so her mother-in-law's heart is broken along with hers. Ruth decides to live with her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law turns into a bitter old lady. Man, in fact, she wants to change her name from Naomi to bitter. She wants to be, I hate the world kind of thing. And Ruth goes with her. And it says in the book of Ruth that she by chance, says it, by chance she started picking up grain out of a field, which poor people, real poor people were allowed to do. Boaz, an older, wealthy man, as her mate, he chose her as his mate. They had a baby. Got married, had a baby, and that baby had a baby, and that baby had a baby, and his name was David, who just happens to be the great, 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 great grandchild of a baby named Jesus. So God, can God do amazing things? Now, having said that, let's go back to Romans 8. What does the Bible say He's doing? He is working right now. God is working right now. All things, in all things, for us. Okay, now hang on. Do you see that? I'm not saying you agree with it yet. I just want you to see it. You see, that's what the Bible says. This is not some power of positive thinking lecture. This is not, here's how to have feel better about your life kind of seminar. No, no, no. This is Bible, God's Word, truth. God promises that He'll work in all things together for good to those that love the Lord. That is true whether I believe it or not. It's true whether I understand it or not. It's true whether I can explain it or not. And that means that everything that's going on in your world right now, everything that's going on in your world right now, God is working through it, in it, on it, for you. Now, how do we react to that? How do we react to those situations? Truth. What? Yeah, we want it to be a little easier. We want to pout. We want to whine. We want to fret. We want to fuss because, and let's be honest, I mean, let's talk. The things that have been going on in your life, the trouble, the tough things, the stresses, the things that have been going on in your life, what do we wish God would do? Make it easier. What else? Word. He said, you're good to talk to me about it. We want Him to fix it. We want Him to take care of it. We want Him to stop it. We want Him to change it. We want Him to make it easier. And if we're not careful, what do we begin to do in spite of all the wondrous things He's done for us, in spite of all the good things He's done for us, what do we tend to do? We begin to blame Him. We start fussing, cussing, discussing, oh God, if you really love me, you'd... I got a text. Wouldn't tell you who. Wouldn't tell you who. Now, if he was sitting here, I'd look right at him right now, but he's not here. But I got a text. God just didn't listen to me anymore. I said, how do you know God's not listening to you? He said, because he's not doing anything for me at all. Anybody ever had that feeling? Yeah, when things get tough, that's exactly right. What is the promise that's made by the God who created the world out of dark? The God who turned a dirt clod into a man. The God who raised a dead man to life. That God is working all things together for good. So when we're going through a tough time, how are we supposed to react? Hang on. Hang on. Be still. Because God's working something out. Now, I want you to look in verse 29 to find out what He's working. I don't know that you're going to find the job. I don't know that you're going to get more pay. I don't know that your rent's going to be due any later than it was last month. I don't know that you're going to catch a break with the doctor. I don't know if you're going to catch a break with your mate. I don't know if your kids are going to start acting. Not saying anything. Did you notice how I paused there? Here's what I do know. God is going to work things together for good, and tell me what the good is. What good does God have in mind? What good does God have in mind? Romans 8, 28, and then 29. Give me the first word of verse 29. Four. And here's why. Here's what he's saying. God works all things together for good to them that love the Lord, for them that love the Lord, for those he foreknew, he predestined, foreordained. That's not what I want you to notice. I want you to notice the next thing. What did God do all that for? So that we could be conformed. What does conformed mean? Fashioned. It means fashioned, shaped, made to look just like the image of His Son. And who is His Son? Jesus. So tell me, why is God working everything in the world for my good? So we can be like Jesus. That's the whole point of it. I don't know about making more money. I don't know about being able to pay your debts. I don't know about getting a better car. I don't know about those kind of things. I do know that God is working everything in my life for my good so that I'll end up looking more like Jesus. So what's He working? Look in the text again one more time and then I'll show you another verse. Verse 8, chapter 8, verse 28. What's He working? All things. Everything that's going on in your life. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything that's going on in your life is working in all of those. Now what we tend to do is we start to fuss a little bit. We start to murmur and complain a little bit. And sometimes we panic. It's been known to happen here. Things go bad. Something goes wrong. And what do we start to do? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. It's just what I'm going to do. We do the old Chicken Little kind of thing, right? And the truth is, God is still working all things together for good. Instead of panicking, instead of whining, instead of fretting, fussing, cussing, discussing, what do? Be patient. Hang on. Hold on. God will work this all out, and it will all turn out for good at some point, somehow, some way, whether I understand it, or explain it, that I can't do. But He will do that. That's His promise. Now, you got your Bibles? Look in Ephesians chapter... No, do I want Ephesians? No. I want you to find... Where are you, Romans? I want you to go to Philippians. No, I'm sorry, Colossians. I'll get it right. I had all these good verses in my mind, but I want us to go a certain order. I know that God is working all things in the world for my good. That's for my good. Now look in Colossians. If you're trying to find Colossians, go to the right. Start from the right. If you were in Romans, turn to the right. You've got 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians and then Galatians and then Ephesians. And then Philippians. And I want you to look at Colossians. All right, got it? We got time. Now, there's not a clock anywhere, so just find Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I want you to look at 11 and 12. It talks about God working. And it's something that God is working in us. So what work is God doing in us? Ready to see it? In Him, we were circumcised with the circumcision. And those of us who grew up going to church, those of us who are of any age at all know about circumcision. We know what it is. And the Jewish people had a custom. It was a part of their covenant with God that when that male child was 8 days old, they would circumcise. They would cut off that piece of skin. He says in Colossians 2 that we're circumcised, but it's not the cutting off. It's cutting off that sinful nature. That is cut off not by hands, but by Christ, by Jesus, right? So what is the work that God is doing in us? He's cutting off our sins, right? There's some of us who have grown up, if you've been around church very often, you'll talk about that when a person is baptized, some kind of work. Well, it's a work, all right, but it's not me doing the work. Jesus is doing the work. He's cutting off my sin, all right? He's cutting off my sin. That's His work. It starts place in me. In this room are people who've had lots of trouble in the world, lots of trouble with sin. Who would that be? Start with me. How about it? And here's what Jesus did for me. He worked in me, for me, so He could set me free from that sin, so He could cut that sin off my life. All right? Now, once He has me, what's He going to do with me? Once He takes that sin away, what's He going to do? Is He done with you? No. In fact, where are you in Colossians? Back up one book. Back up one book. I want to try and make this easy where we can find it real easy. Go back one book to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. A man named Paul, who's a servant of God, is writing a letter for God to some people that lived in this town called Philippi. And they were people that had their sins cut off. They were people that Jesus had cut off their sins and had started His work in them. Now look at Philippians 1:6. Underline it, remember it. What does it say? That He who began a good work in you will do what? Will carry it out. I love my old Bible. It said it will complete it. So if Jesus began that work in you, what does He guarantee? See it through. Now there are people that have had God already working in their lives for their good. And then when they learned about Jesus, boy, they let Him cut off their sins and He began that good work in them. And guess what they decided to do? People in this room, guess what they decided to do? After Jesus saved them, after Jesus washed away their sins, after He made them a child of God, after He gave them a brand new life, what did some of them decide to do? Some of them decided to quit. Some of them decided to go back to the world. They liked that lifestyle. They liked doing those things. It was more fun. They decided it was too hard, maybe, to follow Jesus, they thought. So they went back to the world. Guess what this verse says? They may have given up on God, but guess what? God is not going to give up on them. He is going to keep working, and He will complete the work He started to do. Now, who I'm interested in is folks sitting right here right now. Some of us this week had tough weeks. Some of us had such tough weeks, and we talk about it. You had tough weeks this week that you just thought, He's not going to help me anymore. He's done with me. What's the truth? He is not done with you. He is still working on you. He is not going to give up on you. As frustrated as you may feel, as hopeless as you may feel, the promise is that He who began a good work in you will do what? He will finish it. He will complete. He's not like us. He's no quitter. Not like us. He's not going to quit. He is going to keep working in you until He gets what He wants, right? Now, you're in Philippians 1, turn to Philippians 2. And if you don't know what direction that is, I can't help you. All right? Philippians chapter 2. And I've been telling y'all to turn and I forgot. Look at Philippians chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 12 and 13. Now I'm going to read it, but I want you to do the study. I want you to do the thinking. Therefore, dear friends, as you have always obeyed, underline it, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is what? God. Who? God, who does what? Works. Where? In you. To will and to act according to His good purpose. See it? Now, let me catch a breath. There are people sitting in that have sat in church forever. John. They're lost. There. Francis wasn't far behind, did you say? Some of us that grew up going to church. And I've sat in enough Bible classes and enough preacher meetings, if you want to put it that way, where we wore this verse out, verse 12 out. What does it mean to work out your own self? Let me give you the simplest answer, the one that the text tells you what it is. But I want to get off that and focus on the part of this that fits what we're trying to understand. What does He say to always do? Verse 12, what does He want them to always do? Obey, whether He's there or not, right? And then He says, continue to work out your salvation. So what is working out your salvation? Stay in the verse. How do you work out your own salvation? You get a donut if you can tell me. Obey. Obey. That's all you got to do. We have to obey. There was an old song we used to sing. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. That's it. I don't have to worry about all the things that are going on in the world. I don't have to do the Chicken Little. And I should never do the old, oh, I don't know why you don't love me, and pout. I don't have to do that whining and pouting stuff. What do I need to focus on? Obey. Do what He wants me to do today. Do what He wants me to do about my body. Do what He wants me to do about my wife. Do what He wants me to do about my kids and my grandkids. What He wants me to do about my job. What He wants me to do about my bills. What does He want me to do? He wants me to do His will. And what's He willing to do? What is He willing to do? What is He guaranteed He'll do? Verse 13. What will He do? For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Now, I think I've heard it taught that this means I just got to work hard at doing His will and acting like He wants me to act. I got no argument with that at all. But I think we've misunderstood in this verse anyway what He means. God is at work in me to will and to act for His good purpose. So you know what God's doing right now? You know what God is doing right now? He's working in us to act and to will for His good purpose. God doesn't want you to quit. God doesn't want you to give up. God doesn't want to let you go. He is going to keep working so that He takes over your life to accomplish His good purpose. Now, what do I have to do? Yeah, put it in. You got to obey. You got to get out of His way. Just obey. Does that apply when you don't have enough money to pay your bills? Does that apply when your truck breaks down? Yep. Does that apply when you got kids that drive you nuts? Not me. Not on that one. And if my dad says, "Oh, amen," I'm gonna throw something at him, right? Does that apply when your kids are out of sorts? Does it apply when your mate doesn't like you or your mate won't leave you alone? Yeah. With sin? Does that apply when somebody you love is struggling with sin and you can't do anything to help them? Yes. God is at work for you, and God is at work in you. Right? Now, there's one more. There's one more. Where are you? In Philippians? I want you to go back one book. Go back one book. Turn to the left and go to Ephesians. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 3. You got it? Everybody find it. Ephesians 3, I want you to look at verse 7. Now, I'm going to read a little bit. There are going to be, for some of you, you're going to hear some things read that you haven't read. If you don't understand it, let it pass. We'll come over. We've studied it before. We'll study it again. God gives us any time. We're looking for one particular thing about what God's work is for us, or God's work in us. There's something else. Keep read with me, and we'll find it. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Work again. Keep reading. Although I'm less than the least of all people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Drum roll. His intent, underline it, His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? God is working. God, He's not working on creating the world. He finished that creation. God is working. He brought Jesus to the world, and when He died on that cross, was raised from the dead, and sat at the right hand of God, He stopped that work, but God is still working. Me, to help me be like Jesus. Me, to help me become the kind of man He wants me to be. And He's wanting to work through me, through the church. Look at it, verse 10. Through the church, it is His intent that now, through the church, what would happen? Put it in your words. I know what the text says. You put it in your words. What does God intend for this church to do? Now, and I'm not talking about the brotherhood. I'm not talking about the theology church. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about this collection of sinners. What does He want us to do? What is His intent through us to do? Say, tell Him. What'd you say, Brian? Save the lost. So put it as number one. It's settled right there. That before the world began, before God ever said, "Let there be light," before God ever started putting the world together, before God ever promised that a seed would come from woman and crush Satan's head, before God ever had to drive them out of His presence, before God ever carved His finger in the Ten Commandments, before God ever parted the Red Sea, ever brought them to the Promised Land, before God ever did any of those wondrous, mighty, awesome God things, He planned that one day there'd be a collection of saved people, a collection of people who He had redeemed, a collection of people He had cut off their sins and given them His Spirit, a collection of those people that He would work through. He would work through to make sure that other people heard it. So what's our purpose in this place? What's our purpose? What's God's intention for us in this place? Talk about Jesus. His purpose for us is for us to talk about Jesus. That people, anybody we know, everybody, gets to meet Jesus, gets a chance of Jesus, gets a chance to be saved by Jesus. That's our intention. Now I know, if you grew up going to church, you might think, well, church was a place where you could go to have church. Nope. Nope. I know church, and it's where you go to have a happy Christian marriages. I do. I think that's wondrous. But that's not the intent of the church. Well, I know some folks say, we'd have a good youth group. We'll go to youth rallies and we'll have parties. I love parties, that kind of stuff. That's not it. We're not talking about the brotherhood. The brotherhood wouldn't listen to us. Well, let's talk us. What's God's intention for us? Spread the word. I want you to say it as many different ways as you can. What is God's intention for us? Let people know about Jesus, the mystery of Christ. What else? Bring somebody to Jesus. Give me another way to say it. What's God's intention for us? To preach the Word. What's God's intention for us? I'm sorry? Live for Christ. Give me what God's intention for us. Share with other people. What's God's intention for us? Give me an example. What's God's intention for us? Us have faith in Him. What's God's intention for us? To be in heaven in Him. And to take somebody with you, folks. The intention of God for this church is to help save people from sin. Help rescue people from the damage they've done by their foolish choices. And thank you, He rescued me through you, and there's some of us in here. Now let's see if there's others. Anybody in here that believes that this place was used by God to rescue you from sin and to give you a new life in Jesus, raise your hand. I want you to just look around. This, you get a chance to look around in church. It's the only church you can look around in. All right? You don't get pinched for doing that here. All right. Thank you. So what God wants you to do? We just want to keep doing it, right? God is at work through us. But there's something that is at work in us. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, it's not hard to get from 3 to 4. Look at verse 4. I want you to start in verse 11. I want you to look in chapter 4, verse 11. Got it? He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service so that the body of Christ, until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants tossed the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, things into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So the second thing that God intends to do through us, this verse used the word by, that what God intends to do by us, through us, is not just save the lost, but do what else? Is to help those folks grow up in Jesus. Give me another way to say it. He wants us to save the lost, and He wants us to grow through Christ, guide them. What does He want? Build up the church. Build up the body of Christ. Save lost people and build. And He's not talking to church generic. He's not talking to church theology. He's talking to us right now. He wants us to save lost people, and He wants us to build up this. That. This way. Who does He expect to do that? Who does He expect to do that? I love that first group. You know what they answered when I asked that question? Apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. I agree. If you got them, use them. What if you like us and all you got is us? In fact, He'll end this section. This paragraph is when each of us does our work. Well, I can't preach like the preacher preaches. Thank goodness, right? But you can do what you can do, can't you? Well, I can't sing like the singer sings. You can do what you can, can't you? Well, I can't deacon like the deacon does. I mean, deacon like the deacon does. You know. I got you. But can you do your part? But I can't give like everybody else can. Can you do your part? That's all God's asking, isn't it? Is let Him do what He can do through you. One more time. Let Him do what He can do through you. Now, what kind of things can God do through one man? You talked to me about Joseph. And what we didn't notice was through Joseph, without any big old flashy miracles, he saved a family alive so that a boy named Judah could have a son, an illegitimate son, by the way, named Perez, who could have a son named Boaz, who would marry a girl named Ruth, and they'd have a great-great-grandson named David, who became the great-great-great-granddaddy of a baby named Jesus. So can God do amazing things through a boy that got put in jail? Yeah. God do amazing things through Peter? Did God do amazing things through the Apostle Peter? Amazing things, man. Oh, Peter raises people from the dead. Peter walks on water. Peter preaches the gospel. Man, I'm telling you, that Peter, he was some kind of servant. Guess who brought Peter to meet Jesus? His brother named Andrew. I don't know if Andrew could preach like Peter. Never says. I don't know. Suspect he did to prove he was an apostle, but it doesn't say. The Bible never tells us. So who is more important in the building of the kingdom of God? Who is more important in the building of the church of God? Who's more important in building? Peter, who did all the mighty stuff, or Andrew, who introduced him to Jesus? Both of them did what they could, right? I love that a second grade school teacher told my mama about maid school teacher, her words, not mine, an old maid school teacher taught her about Jesus. I'm thankful my mother taught me about Jesus. Are you? What God did through her. Look what God did through us just doing what we can do. So it's not about how much. It's not about how much you can do. It's just part. And God will work through you to save people and to build this church. God's still at work? No. He finished creation. And He did that for us. He finished atonement. And He did that for us. God's still at work? For us, in us, and through us. Let's thank God for that, right?